Bible sounds like a chore. It sounds mundane. But the strength and the maturity and the growth and the transformation, all those things have come as the Word of God has become part of who I am. I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's just great that you can join me again this week on Christianity Works. As we spend time together in God's Word today, I passionately believe that God's going to change us from the inside out in ways that we could never have imagined. That's what Christianity Works is all about. Opening up God's Word, taking a fresh look to see what He's doing in our lives today, because He's always up to something good. So as we share this time together, my prayer is that we'll be forever changed by God's love, God's grace, and God's power in Jesus Christ. Now here is a question that these days pretty much divides the church down the middle. Are you ready? Here it is. Does God still speak today? Whoa, the controversy, the division that little question creates is huge. There are some who contend that the only way that God speaks today, the single only way, is through the Bible. Read the Bible, that's God's word, that's how He speaks. Then, at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you have Christians who claim to have seen signs and wonders, to have so-called words of knowledge and prophecies over their lives. I even know one man whose pastor constantly claims to have visions of Jesus. Wow, man, what do you do with that? How do you understand that? And then there's little old you and me. And if you're anything like me, deep inside, there's a desire that burns for God, something that, well, it's hard to explain. A hunger after God Himself, a yearning that can't be satisfied by some dry academic cerebral answer to this question: does God still speak today? It won't be dismissed by shallow responses either, and nor will sensational claims quench the thirst after Christ Himself. And so that's why these coming weeks on the program, we're going to explore this question: does God still speak today? And if so, how? As I said, I ache to know God, to experience Him, to hear Him speak into my life. And I know that there are many, many more people on this earth who feel exactly the same. I want to live my life out completely for Him. Everything I am, everything I have, all my hopes and all my dreams, to serve Him with the lot. And it's not because I'm some great guy. Believe you me, I'm not. It's because I've tasted the sweetness of His love, the many splendid love of Christ, as A.W. Tozer calls it. I've tasted His goodness and His joy and His peace. And you know what? I want more. And so I want to hear Him speak, because any relationship that means anything, that has any value to it, is based on communication. And not one-way communication, two-way communication. A marriage is headed for divorce when there's a stony silence between husband and wife. If all that they do is to communicate on a transactional basis about the mundane things of life, and they no longer communicate heart to heart, then friend, unless they do something about that, their marriage is headed for divorce. So the question is, does God still speak? In my experience, He does, in a variety of ways. But experience isn't the be-all and the end-all. We have emotions. They go up, they go down. Sometimes we're on the top of our game. Other times, frankly, let's be honest, we're off with the pixies. So whilst we may be experiencing God speaking through prophecy, through signs, through dreams, all sorts of different ways, I believe with all my heart that the truth, God's chosen way of revealing Himself to us, of providing us with a rock-solid basis for understanding Him and understanding our experience, is His word, this thing we call the Bible. Inspired by Him, written through human beings for sure. Each of the 66 books in the Bible, written in different times in history, under different circumstances, for specific purposes. But together, those 66 books are the inspired Word of God. God speaking to the generations that have gone before us, and to us, and the generations that will come after us. And God never contradicts Himself. He never says one thing and does the other. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if anyone, whether it's you or me, claims to have heard from God in a certain way, then the question is, does the Bible say that that's how God communicates with us? Because if it doesn't, then friend, at the very, very least, I'm very, very suspicious that this person has indeed heard from God. And secondly, if this person claims to have heard from God and acts on it or shares what God has allegedly said to him or to her, is the message consistent with the Word of God, the whole counsel of God? Because if God says one thing and some so-called prophet comes up with a so-called revelation that contradicts God's Word, then forget it. It ain't God talking. It makes sense. When we step into the realm of God speaking with us about specific things happening in our lives or in the lives of other people, then we're stepping into territory which is rich and fertile on the one hand, if God is indeed speaking. I, for one, want to hear. But on the other hand, it's open to manipulation and to error. This approach is summed up in this biblical principle. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 22. Have a listen. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." In other words, don't ignore God speaking through His Spirit. Don't despise the words of prophets, but at the same time, sift it, test it, hold on to the good, ditch the evil. So, is God still speaking? Absolutely. Listen to what Jesus said, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. "Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and listen to this, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but they'll run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Again, John 15, verse 26. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." And again, John chapter 16, verse 14. "He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Is God in the business of still speaking to his people through his Spirit today? Absolutely. That's exactly what Jesus promised would happen over and over and over again. It's promised in the Bible. But as we read back in 1 Thessalonians, whilst the Spirit is at work, speaking, declaring, and we shouldn't quench what he's doing, when people claim to be speaking on God's behalf, then we better test it to make sure that it's from God. And I guess that's at the very heart of what we're going to be talking about over the coming weeks, discovering how to hear God speak into our lives. It's powerful stuff. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Powerful stuff indeed. So many of us yearn to hear God speak, and yet at the same time, we want to make sure that what we think we're hearing is in fact coming from God. Imagine if we learned how to listen to God, how to recognize His voice in the trials and the challenges and the blessings of life. Imagine the power that we would lay hold of to do His will. Imagine the joy and the contentment of following His guidance. God is still speaking, yet in the busyness and the clutter and the hubbub of life, so often we miss what He's saying. I truly believe that the Lord our God wants us to learn to hear His voice, to sort the wheat from the chaff, to hold on to what is good. That's what this series of programs is all about. How can I hear God speak to me? And don't forget, if you'd like to listen to this message again or any of our other programs in this series, you'll be able to do that at our website, ChristianityWorks.com. I really encourage you to stop by online and to receive this important teaching. And don't forget to let us know what you think. If God somehow impacted your life through this message, then have your say at ChristianityWorks.com. Remember, God is speaking. He's ready to speak to each one of us right in the middle of what we're going through. That's His promise. I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus, I had such an incredibly strong sense of God's presence. He wrapped His arms around me during a particularly difficult and painful time in my life, and yet I was full of the joy of the Lord. And a dear friend of mine, Phil, the pastor of the first church I attended, sat me down over a coffee and he said to me, "You know, Bernie, it's not always going to feel as good as this." And whilst in one sense he was right, there was something inside me, it made me angry. I thought to myself, and I said this to God, if I can't have a close, intimate relationship with my God each day, if I can't experience His joy and His peace each day, then you know something, Lord, I don't think I want you. It's pretty radical stuff. And to be sure, life has had its ups and downs. Sometimes circumstances are Guinness, and sometimes everything's rosy. Sometimes our emotions are up, and sometimes they're down. In those early days of becoming a Christian, they told me, Phil told me, that I should read my Bible every day. Can I tell you what a turn-off that was? Can I tell you what a burden it was to think that I would have to open this old stuffy book, this huge book, 775,000 words, 31,173 verses, 1,189 chapters in 66 books, written in times and places and cultures that were completely unfamiliar to me? Who or what, for instance, is Ephraim? And why was everyone sacrificing bulls and goats and doves and stuff? You get the drift. But Phil, my pastor, was a persuasive guy, real salt-of-the-earth kind of guy. And when I listened to him preaching on Sundays, he made an enormous amount of sense to me. So I did something back then. I established this pattern of getting up early in the morning, something I've been doing since I was a small child anyway, because I'm an early riser, while everyone's still asleep, and spending some time in prayer and reading the Bible. I was surprised. God's word made a lot of sense. A lot of it was confronting. It was like shining a really bright light on my own immaturities and the things I was doing that weren't pleasing God. And day after day, month after month, year after year, here's what happened to me. It's changed me. I open the Bible these days and it's God speaking to me. Now, there aren't fireworks and flashes of thunder and great amazing revelations each and every day. It's not like that. Little by little, God's word has become part of who I am. I'm not good at memorizing verses. Some people are. I'm just not. But what I find amazing now is that when someone asks me to get up and speak about something, or we're having a discussion amongst friends about this issue or that, the recall that God's given me over his word is amazing. I can remember the things that God says, maybe not word for word, but pretty close, and where he says it, and that makes all the difference. When someone's really bugging me and I want to tear him apart, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says to me, turn the other cheek. And wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield. And all of a sudden, God's word is guiding my behavior. God's word is giving me what I need to live my life. The Holy Spirit speaks his word right into my life when I need it. And the other thing, it sounds really mundane, reading the Bible every day, and I guess it is. I tend to read an Old Testament book followed by a New Testament book, one of the letters from Romans to Revelation followed by one of the four Gospels and Acts. It's kind of how I cycle through the Bible. And I've pretty much read it all now several times. The reason I cycle is that the different books feed me in different ways. Some of those Old Testament narratives, the Judges and Kings and Chronicles books, they feed me with the power and the majesty of God's faithfulness. And then the letters in the New Testament, they teach me about real life and understanding life in light of what Jesus has done. And then the Gospels and the book of Acts, they take me back to the heart of my faith in Jesus. And then some of the wisdom books in the Old Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, Lamentations, I sprinkle them throughout, and it's like adding salt to everything else. And as I read through bit by bit, can't begin to tell you how many times I've found exactly what I need for today. The things I'm going through, or the things unbeknown to me that are going to confront me later on today. It's amazing how many times God's given me what I need for today from those very next few verses in the next chapter that I was due to read. Reading the Bible sounds like a chore. It sounds mundane. But the strength and the maturity and the growth and the transformation, the things that have so made my life better, I can't begin to tell you, they've come from this wonderful habit that Phil taught me all those years ago. The ability to discern whether someone else is speaking for God or not. The wisdom to know how to handle tough situations. The maturity to lay down my life. And that's hard. Boy, it's hard some days. All those things have come as the word of God has become part of who I am. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 tells us that we've been made in God's image. Problem is, our rebellion, our sin has marred that image. And reading God's word most days, listening to what he has to say most days, is like being restored back into his original image. It's a repair job here, a clean-up job there, a new bit here. And all of a sudden, we become a different person. It's knowing the truth that sets us free, and the Bible is God's way of speaking with us. If there is one thing just one thing that I could point to as the smartest thing I have ever done after giving my life to Jesus, it's opening up the Bible, that daily habit, and letting God speak His word into my heart through His Spirit. And the tragedy is that so many people, the people who don't do that, are the very ones whose lives are all over the place because there's no foundation, there's no anchor into God's truth. I'm Bernie Diamond. We'll get back to the message in just a moment. God does speak to us in many different ways, and that's why His word, the Bible, is so important. Knowing what He has to say and how He says it, that comes from His word. And hearing God speak radically changes our lives. On the one hand, some people sadly quench the work of the Spirit. On the other hand, others step into error through false prophecies and distortions of God's word. What's the answer? Well, the answer is there in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from everything that's evil. In other words, we need to be discerning. On the one hand, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater by denying the powerful things that God's doing. But at the same time, be discerning. Go with what God's doing. When people are operating the flesh, keep away from that evil. And that's what this series, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me, is all about this week and the next few weeks. There are four messages in all, and if you're not able to hear them all on air, then they're available online at our website, christianityworks.com. Friends, Jesus said that He is our good shepherd, and that we the sheep will hear His voice and know His voice. He is still speaking with us today, and I encourage you to seek Him out for yourself. All right, let's get back into God's word right now. Let's discover another way that God chooses to speak with us. Before the break, we saw that one of the main ways that God speaks to us, in fact, the main way, is through His word, the Bible. That is an awesome thing. And as I said back then, the simple habit of reading God's word, even if it's just a few verses, every day, has utterly changed my life. But that's only one side of the coin in my daily time with God, because the other side of the coin is prayer. It's an amazing contradiction that so many people are living out in their lives, people who believe in Jesus. Here's how it goes. On the one hand, these people really would love to hear God's voice. They'd really like to know that He's there with them, that He has some practical words of wisdom for them, some guidance on the decisions they need to take. That's on the one hand. And yet these so often are the very same people who are too busy to sit down for 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe even 45 minutes or an hour, most days, to spend that time in prayer with God. Too busy, too busy, too busy. Well, fair enough. I know all about that. See, I'm one of these busy type A action-oriented people. We're more focused on doing things and getting outcomes than on spending time on relationships. So anyone who says to me, I'm just too busy to pray, well, I really understand. I really relate to that. But the problem that comes out of that is that we head off into our day and we confront all the issues and tensions and decisions and all that stuff. We're so immersed in it all. And then right in the middle of it, we think, where's God? Why isn't God talking to me? Why isn't God guiding me? Why isn't God comforting me? Well, I'll tell you, friend, God was waiting for you this morning. He was waiting for you to get still before Him, to spend some time with Him reading His word, the Bible, listening to what He has to say, and then chatting with Him in prayer. Have a listen to this psalm. It's one of my absolute favourites, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we won't fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It won't be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations He's brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Powerful truth in verse 1 is that God is our refuge and our strength in the middle of all this mess. We don't have to be afraid. If the mountains are shaking, if they're falling into the sea, if there's calamity, there's upheaval, there's uproar, that's the picture in this psalm. The sorts of things we go through in rough and tumble of life. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because there's a stream flowing right through the heart of our city that makes us glad. The nations may well be in an uproar, but God is God above all, and when he speaks, the earth melts before him. You know, that's a great theory. But when we're in the middle of this calamitous uproar, when tensions are running high at work, when we're hard-pressed on every side, when we're running through life at 100 miles an hour, how are we meant to experience this river of joy from God? How are we meant to hear him and know him and not be afraid because of him when all this stuff is flying through the air? Well, the answer comes to us in verse 10 of this psalm. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that beautiful? Just with all that stuff going on, just be still and know in your heart of hearts that your God is God, that your God is in control. I don't care who the relationship is with. If we don't take time away from the hustle and bustle just to connect, just to spend time together, just to talk, whether it's husband and wife or work colleagues or friends, if we don't do that, then the hustle and bustle is going to distract us from the reality of the relationship with that other person. We forget in our experience how wonderful the love of our husbands or wives are. We forget the joy of a friendship because our dominant reality, the thing we're focused on, is the busyness and the battle of life. And friend, if we want to know that God is in control, we need to get still before him and just know. It's as simple as that. That's what prayer is, getting still before God. Here's how it so often works for me. I pray a bit and I ask God to speak with me, and then I open the Bible and I read the next bit I was going to read, the next chapter in Luke's gospel or whatever. And in reading that, the Spirit of God speaks to me through God's word. I get this sense that God's up to something here. But then I need to chew it over. So I pray about it. I ask God, what are you saying to me? I think about it. I get still. I listen. And that's the place where God so often speaks, with a word of reassurance, with some specific guidance or direction. I had that happen this morning, in fact. Had a difficult situation and some difficult decisions to make. And after spending time in God's word and thinking and praying and listening, well, the answer was as plain as the nose on my face. So often I'm confronted with a to-do list longer than my arm. I can't possibly get it all done today. God, what's your priority? What do you want me to do today? And that's where the most important things drop into my lap. So I go and I do those ones. It's a gift from God. Friends, so many people's lives are in a mess. I want to hear God speak. Well, let's get still before God. Let's spend time with God. If we want to hear God speak right into the middle of the realities of our lives, we need to get still before him. Let's get a revelation today. I know your life is busy. Mine is too. But if we start spending 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day, quietly, all the distractions gone, the doors closed, the Bible open, time in prayer, God shows up. He loves spending time with us. He loves it when we set time apart from him. And frankly, if you are struggling to hear from God, but you're not making time to spend with him, this message today is for you. Start spending time just with him. And little by little, he'll start speaking. Day by day, we'll learn better how to recognize his voice. A little bit by little bit, we'll get guidance about things for today and things for tomorrow and things that we need to lay down. Jesus said that the shepherd speaks and the sheep hear his voice. In my experience, sometimes in my prayer times, over the years, I've misheard God. But the longer I spend at this, the more discerning I am, and the more easily I'm able to recognize the voice of my shepherd. As I read my Bible, one thing is absolutely plain and obvious. God is in the business of speaking with his people, encouraging, admonishing, guiding, holding, and he aches for all of us who believe in his son Jesus to hear his voice. His passion is to speak with us and communicate his love and his truth and his guidance and his wisdom into the day-to-day realities of our lives. You know, Jesus was so interested in the little things in people's lives. He coached and mentored his disciples. He taught them about their pride. He showed them his ways. Jesus hasn't stopped wanting that for his disciples. And each one of us who puts our trust in him is just that, one of his disciples. And he's given us his Spirit, a comforter and advocate just like him, to be with us and to speak with us. John chapter 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. That's the truth. The Spirit is here to speak and to declare the things of Jesus to you and to me. I pray that today's message has been an incredible blessing to you. That's what God's Word is meant to be. And I pray that the Lord's lit a bit of a fire in your heart or fanned the flame that's already there to grow your passion for drawing close to him. Don't forget to stop by our website, ChristianityWorks.com. There are so many more resources there just for you. Thanks for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.